Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The confrontation, the marchers walked down Sunrise Way to Avenida Caballeros and all the way to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Many same-sex marriage advocates are upset with members of the Mormon Church for their backing of the marriage ban. Their frustration is evident.
Organizers say they put together this rally to help heal the gay community. But when this woman showed up carrying a cross, it incited anger.
And they begin grabbing me, and it was like a dog pack, actually.
You can see one protester tear the sign from her hands, another stomps on it. The woman says she was struck on the head and spit on.
The crowd was very angry that someone was here that they felt didn't belong here.
This will go back into the courts. This will go back to the Supreme Court in order, because the Supreme Court very clearly in California has declared this unconstitutional. It's the same as in the 1948 case when blacks and whites were not allowed to marry. This is in this, falls into the same category.
It is the Savage Nation. Here we have the ignoramus Arnold Schwarzenegger, the biggest idiot to have ever invaded California, a musclehead of the lowest order, having the audacity to say to the people of the state of California who orderly and peacefully voted to support heterosexual marriage, he said to the voters, drop dead, we're going to shop it back to the degenerates on the California Supreme Court, and you can go you know where. We have no democracy in America, make no mistake about it. And this is a very dangerous precedent, by the way, because if we don't stop Schwarzenegger, and if we don't stop Obama from creating a police force of his own Gestapo nature, we're going to wake up one day and realize that it's all over, that we've lost this country. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Now, many of the leftist goons are telling us we're not allowed to criticize Obama. We're not allowed to criticize Obama because they say so. Of course, they were able to criticize any Republican, any conservative, any talk show host as often as they want. But today, a Republican congressman from Georgia is calling President-elect Barack Hussein Obama a Marxist and is warning us that the Marxist Obama might be planning to form a Gestapo-like security force so he can rule as a dictator. The two-term rep Paul Bruin of Athens, Georgia, cited a July speech, which, by the way, I had on this show before anybody else, that has circulated on the Internet, in which Hussein Obama called for a civilian force to take some of the national security off the military. Congressman Bruin said he was not fear-mongering, but wants to warn people that the nation could be going down that path. I have a question for you. Which executive orders do you fear most from Barack Hussein Obama? Which executive orders do you fear will come out of this Marxist's hands first? And how are you going to stop him? How are you going to stop him? Number one. Number two, did you notice the kumbaya in the White House? There was old Georgie Porgy, Bushy Wushy, hanging out with Obama, making the peaceful transition. You know, it's all so peaceful. Can you play Kumbaya for me, please? Because that's all I could think of was the Kumbaya song.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
I am surprised that George Bush and Laura and Barry and Michelle Obama did not sing Kumbaya together on the front lawn, weaving back and forth. Defiant Fed refuses to ID $2 trillion in loans. Let me pause right here on that one, because it's all about money. It always has been. It always will be. I have told you that, in my opinion, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has pulled off the largest theft in world history, never mind American history. Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke have pulled off, in my humble opinion, the greatest theft in American history. They are refusing to identify where $2 trillion in federal tax money has gone. They will not comply with congressional demands for transparency in the so-called bailout. How long have I told you that I think Bernanke and Paulson are criminals? That's my opinion. How do you define a criminal? I'll define a criminal for you. A criminal takes something which is not his and gives it either to someone else who did not earn it or keeps it for themselves. That is a criminal act. How do you define taking taxpayer money and giving it to unknown parties and not disclosing who these parties are? How do you do that? Next topic on MichaelSavage.com, Obama considering, wait a minute, you're not going to believe this one. Does the name Jamie Gorelick ring a bell for you? Jamie Gorelick worked for Fannie Mae, made a fortune on that scam. She built the so-called intelligence wall that blocked counterterrorism agents before the 9/11 attacks that may have enabled the Arab Muslim murderers who hit us in the World Trade Center at the Pentagon to get through security all because of Gorelick. She is being considered to be the U.S. Attorney General. Any more? You would like to hear a few more stories? I got a few more for you here on the Savage Nation. Agenda disappears from Obama website. Gone are the promises on how the Obama administration would handle 25 different agenda items, everything from Iraq and immigration to taxes and urban policy. Gone. Next story, AIG gets expanded bailout post $25 billion loss. Remember AIG, the insurance company, the private company, which got $150 billion government rescue package, almost doubling the initial bailout of less than 2 months ago? They're burning through cash. They're going on vacations. And our dear friend Hank Paulson, old Hank Paulson, gave them double the money they asked for. Those are enough to start with here on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. We're also going to have the Hollywood Idiot of the Day on the Savage Nation. I'm not going to tell you who it is. We'll save that for a little later. And having been in Hollywood now for approximately 4 days, I have a new low that we've hit. I found a new restaurant low for the United States of America. A restaurant with the worst food, the worst service, and the worst crowd. Again, I will reserve the name of this restaurant until the next segment. I'll give you a hint. It's a place where those who still think they're in Queens but drive rented Maseratis flock in order to put on airs for other people who are from Queens and Brooklyn who wear undershirts to restaurants in rented Maseratis. Florida, Harry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, Dr. Savage. You know, I just wanted to make a comment that I listened to your show for your opinions, which are always well backed up and elucidated very well, but also I listen to your show for information because you come across with information that's just not out there within easy access. If I didn't listen to your show, I wouldn't be made aware of so much of what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm glad you like what I do for you, but you may as well enjoy it while you can, because the very same gang that just seized America's presidency, this gang now wants to eliminate conservative talk radio because they want to be able to get away with virtual murder without having anyone saying stop, stop in the name of the Bill of Rights, stop in the name of the Constitution, stop in the name of America. You can't do this. They do not want any opposition. This country right now is enjoying the last days of freedom of speech. I hope you understand that, Harry.
I do. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like the disdemocratic, undemocratic party is a replacement for the old feudal aristocracy, which was totally disconnected from the people, did what it wanted to, was thought of itself as above and beyond any accountability?
But wait a minute, my friend. Sure, that's true, but it's also true of George Bush and the Republicans. If you are going to apply it to one party, you have to apply it to what Bush just did to the country. How much worse, people say to me, could Obama do than Bush did? I said a lot worse. Bush was a feudal dictator. Bush has ruled as though he's a feudal master. But this guy is liable to go beyond feudalism. He's liable to go to a level we cannot even comprehend in this country.
I think he's totally disconnected from the average person in the street. I have never seen anything like it in my 60 years on this planet.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, who is disconnected? Which one?
Barack Obama. He is totally disconnected.
Barack Obama, let me explain something about him psychologically. I'll be the first but not the last to explain to you my impression of him. Barack Obama is a multiracial kid who has never heard the word no in his entire life. He grew up in Hawaii. His white grandmother raised him through great sacrifice after his two fathers ran away and ditched him. His two Muslim fathers ditched him. His mother was very flighty. His mother basically abandoned him, so he has a problem with women. He has a problem with a sense of being abandoned. Obama's a kid who grew up in a place where people got on their hands and knees to kids like him. Remember, I live there. I know what white liberals are like around multiracial kids. They practically crawl on their hands and knees to prove how liberal they are. This guy has never, ever encountered anyone who's disagreed with him, I can guarantee you. So the example of that was the other day when the first speech he gives off script, he makes a mockery of Nancy Reagan, sounding like he's in a jazz club talking to a group of hippies in a drawing room in Chicago somewhere. That's who he really is. This guy doesn't even understand he won the presidency. He thinks he just won a college exam, a college presidency. I think he's so out of place, it's beyond me. He is beyond me. Looks like a child sitting in the White House.
White calls him a boy, not a man. That's what he reminds me of a college freshman, a college sophomore. He just bows.
Yeah, he looks like a college kid who just won the class presidency. My friend, thank you for calling. The time is 17 minutes after the hour. Even as the company was begging the federal government for another $40 billion in loans, AIG sent top criminals, executives, to a secret gathering in a luxury resort in Phoenix last week. My opinion, the Treasury Secretary, the Fed Chairman, the AIG Chairman, the Lehman Chairman belong in handcuffs. Where is the FBI now that we need them? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Question one, what executive orders do you fear most from Barack Hussein Obama? Question two, do you think that Treasury Secretary Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke should be arrested immediately for refusing to reveal who they have given $2 trillion of your money to? Question three, Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor of California because we the voters threw his corrupt predecessor, liberal Gray Davis, out in recall election. Now that so-called Republican Schwarzenegger has said the courts should reinstate homosexual marriage, should the voters recall Schwarzenegger? I have other questions, of course, and I'll get to them on the Savage Nation, but this segment is very short on the program, so I'm going to eschew calls for the moment. I want to talk for a minute about the economy, because on pages 71 to 73 of my book, Psychological Nudity, I have a story entitled First Mortgage, and it's about the crisis we are in now. And I say, the government said to the banks for years, you lend money to illegal aliens and unqualified minorities, or we will sue you. In fact, the government said to banks, you can't even ask the so-called citizenship status of a potential borrower, or we'll sue you for racism. So the banks were put over a barrel. The banks said, but, and the government said, we'll give it to you in the you-know-what, unless you lend it to the illegal alien, unless you lend it to people who don't qualify. And so now we have a subprime crisis. So Michael Savage again asks the question no one has asked. How many of these people in a subprime mortgage crisis are illegal aliens? How many of these people are those that banks were forced to lend to? But it doesn't stop Bush from telling us that we have to pay for it. And I quote George Bush. Now I talk about something that you may not know about. The first mortgage I ever heard about was the one my father secured in 1954. He bought a house for $14,000 in Queens, New York. You had to put down 20% or 25% at the very least in those days. So what would you have to put down then, about $3,000? It was a lot of money. And then he took out a mortgage, and then he paid off the house. He had to qualify for the mortgage, and if he couldn't qualify, they wouldn't give it to him. And he paid off the house over 30 years and died, and that was the end of it. In those days, my father wouldn't buy a car on time because he said that it was cheating. Can you imagine how those old-timers thought? A mortgage you had to pay off because who had cash to pay a whole house off? Nobody. Nobody did unless you worked for some people on a certain street that you ate spaghetti on. But the fact is nobody that we knew had that kind of cash hidden behind the wallpaper in Belrose, Queens. So you had to take a mortgage. But a car was another story. You bought a used car and you paid cash. Why did you buy a used car? Because you paid cash. Why didn't you buy a new car? Because if you bought a new car on time in my father's day, it was considered cheating because you couldn't really afford it and you were a faker. But that thinking, 99% of the people on the road today wouldn't have a car by that thinking. Now let's get to Hollywood, USA Today. You go to a restaurant which has the worst food, in my opinion, the worst service, in my opinion, and the worst crowd, in my opinion, Mr. Chow's, Beverly Hills. This place is filled with every poseur in Hollywood. Glass of wine, $40. There was not one dish served that was not coated in sugar and grease of the lowest order. I've never tasted food like this. Everybody I was with was ill for 2 days. See, I'm a man who understands food, particularly Chinese food. This is a place for people from Queens, New York, who don't know food, who have no idea what food should taste like. And I'm getting to a bigger point. Not only do they not understand food, they don't understand people, they don't understand politicians, they don't understand the country they're in, they don't understand what the Bill of Rights is. So you can tell the whole world through a Chinese restaurant. Why would anybody go to a place that rips you off, in my opinion, with the worst possible Chinese food in the country, and they clamor to get in there because it's a place to be seen? They pull up in their Maseratis, their Ferraris, their this and their that, most of which, I'm sorry to tell you, are not paid for. They're leased with nothing down. And you see young schmucks walking in the restaurant with black undershirts, pipe stem arms. In fact, one schmuck was next to us at a table. He pulled up in his Ferrari, had pipe stem arms, looked like you could blow him over with a sneeze. It was so crowded in there that one of the waiters backed into him and almost knocked him over with his glass of wine. The big guy was standing there with the glass of wine. You know, the king of Naples was standing there with the glass of wine, drinking the wine, waiting for the ugly girlfriend in the tight skirt and the stiletto heels to show up. The waiter didn't even see him, backs into him, almost knocks the punk over. The waiter didn't even know he knocked into him. And you see the guy curl his lips up like, oh, my, but didn't say a word. Worst food, worst service, worst crowd, in my opinion. A triple X of the lowest order for those who still think they're in Queens and drive rented Maseratis. As soon as I get back on the Savage Nation, we go to the Hollywood idiot of the day. You're not going to believe it when you hear it, but you'll hear it as sure as I'm sitting here right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be absolutely
savage.
Kumbaya land. Savage Nation, remember this. Your right to question and criticize politicians is enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. It is enshrined. You have not only an obligation, you have not only a right, but an obligation to question politicians who, if they're not questioned, if they're not analyzed, if they're not held up to public ridicule, will become dictators. So I don't want to hear that we're not allowed to criticize Obama when many of the things he is on record as having said he would like to do, such as the Fairness Doctrine, a private security force that sounds like the Gestapo, worry millions of Americans. I asked you, what executive orders do you fear most from Barack Obama? We learned today that according to the advisors around him, he is going to use executive orders immediately in order to bypass Congress. That is very frightening when you think about it. That's very frightening to believe that we have a dictator who believes he has a mandate when he has no such mandate. The people didn't want to vote for another Bush. They didn't want to vote for Sarah Palin. They didn't want to vote for an old loser like McCain. It doesn't mean they gave Obama, the social worker, lawyer, a mandate to do anything, by the way. Then you have the governor of the state of California saying that although you voted fair and square against homosexual marriage, although 7 out of 10 blacks said they find homosexual marriage abhorrent, He has the nerve to compare gays to blacks. Now, it just shows you what a racist Schwarzenegger is in his heart, in my opinion. Dan in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm a Hispanic male, and it doesn't take a lot to prove that. Homosexuals and homosexual marriage is a choice, and until it's proven otherwise, they should not be given any special rights.
Yeah, we all know that. And we voted on it, and I'm sick and tired of hearing about gays and their marriage and their this and their that. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. And I'm sick of their terror tactics. And I'm sick of them attacking Mormon women. And I want to know where my government is to protect people from these gangs.
They're basing their argument, though, that this is a racial issue. It's not. It's not a gender or racial issue at all.
No, it's a lifestyle or a death style choice, depending upon how you look at it. I will repeat again, society at large has an obligation to survive. The rules of a society are written for the survival of a society. You cannot enshrine a behavior which is at best neutral, but in most cases not neutral, with regard to the survival of the nation. You agree with me?
I do, absolutely.
So, therefore, why would a society, a sane society, say that we enshrine heterosexual marriage because that will ensure the procreation of children and the advancement of society with regard to birth? How can you enshrine marriages which are neutral at best and negative at worst? Thanks for the call. There are many bigger problems right now, but the gays are out of control, in my opinion. They have attacked Mormons. They have sullied the name of the Mormon Church. And you know what really bothers me here is that, sure, the Mormon Church gave money to support heterosexual marriage, but they were not alone. The Knights of Columbus gave over $1 million, if not more, and the Knights of Columbus did the right thing. They are with the Catholic Church. How come there have been no protests outside Catholic churches? And why is it that these peace-loving gays are so violent? And why is it that these peace-loving mobs are screaming against hate while hating? Can anyone explain that to me? New York City, WOR, Cesare, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. You brought up one of the issue I wanted to talk about, and one of the pieces of legislation that I fear most that Obama might pass, and it's the fairness doctrine. I think the manipulation of our freedom of speech is probably one of the most scariest things you can mess around with. I mean, this country was pretty much founded on the right to say what we believe and to question authority and to change authority if it needs to be. And to curtail that in any way is pretty much going against what this country was founded on. And you can see that.
All right,
that.
So what's your main point? I don't understand it. What's the main point?
Well, that it'd be wrong. I mean,
okay.
And,
well, I understand that. I wouldn't criticize that, but that's it. 1-800-449-8255. Waco, Texas. Pat, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I wanted to call about the Proposition 8 thing. That scares me half to death. Why even send it to a vote if you're not going to listen to the people? And then I guess to answer your question on Obama.
I'll tell you why. Because the homosexual mafia is in such denial that they actually thought that they were going to bamboozle the average person into this. Number two, the homosexual media is in such denial that they actually started to believe their own lies. Number three, the pro-homosexual government is in such denial that they start to believe the people are worthless. Any other questions?
I was just going to say the Obama thing that I'm the afraidest of is the fairness doctrine. What happened to patriots like John Adams that said, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it. I'm going into the ministry, and I'm scared to death 10 years from now I won't be able to preach because I won't
Yes, you will be able to preach the way they preach in China, the way they used to preach in the ex-Soviet Union. As long as you your script is approved by the new Obama dictatorship, and as long as you don't attack their sacred cows, you'll be able to preach. You'll be able to preach a sort of watered-down Christianity. As long as you don't criticize homosexuality and a few other sacred cows, you'll be fine as a preacher. The others won't be able to preach. They'll be in re-education camps.
Well, then I'm afraid I'll be in those camps because I'll be put to death one.
Well, that's the right attitude. That's what I got to say. Thank you. New York City, WOR. Matt, you're on the Savage Nation.
I want to talk about Vladimir Putin and how he basically feels that Obama and the United States in general is on the decline and extremely. I was wondering if you saw the article on that over the weekend.
Well, in what regard? I've seen a lot of articles.
Well, in 2005, during Obama's nuclear proliferation tour, he gave him the diplomatic yoke up and basically held him to the side and busted his chops while he tried to get into the country. But he was quoted as over the weekend as basically saying, hey, I'm going to redo my own constitution. I'm going to get back in charge. And he's already starting to move missiles in positions where a conservative president or, you know, someone like Reagan wouldn't allow these missiles to be moved in. I'm not sure exactly which parts of the world. I can't remember.
Well, I'm not so sure I want to see another Cuban Missile Crisis-like event occur right now. I don't think we need that right now. And I want to go back a few months. The Georgia versus Russia issue. I am telling you this was an unnecessary provocation on the part of Condoleezza Rice and George Bush. This was unnecessary. We did not have to provoke Putin in this manner. He was forced into this reaction. So I'm not so sure Putin is acting on a in a unilateral manner just by putting missiles into the defense shield into Europe when he says they could be used for offensive purposes.
But when he comes out and he says that Obama's presidency shows weakness and a decline in the United States of America, and this is the time for Russia to become the premier power in the world.
That's a different story. Why does he think Obama's presidency shows weakness?
Because it shows that the American people in general, who used to work hard and fight for what was right for their country, for democracy and for our Constitution, all we want are handouts. And that is something that makes the country look weak when we sit there and we vote for a guy that's going to give us a handout. On the flip side, if we had elected a president, and there was really none to elect this year, a president that would allow for prosperity, allow for people to work and be successful, when you have a country like that, that means that you're going to unite. That means they're going to be strong, and they're going to stand up against someone like Vladimir Putin, who sees this opportunity to take over this power vacuum. And that scares me more than the executive.
Well, but you got to understand something. There's another element here. Putin is speaking almost from another time. Like, he's speaking from a year ago, when Russia was much stronger than it is now. Owing to the collapse in oil prices, the amount of money that was flowing into Russia is no longer flowing. The amount of money that Putin had at his disposal a year ago because of extraordinarily high oil prices has dried up and disappeared. He cannot have these expansionist tendencies right now because he can't pay for them. Much of their vaunted military is old and broken down and, frankly, out of date. Take a look at the submarine accident they just had. I think he's talking a good game, but I don't really think he has the power to back it up, frankly.
But a hot war or a cold war, preparing for war with the economy. And if he decides he wants to deficit spend and build up his military and do what he wants and impose his power in that section of the world, what are we going to do? Nothing. We don't have a strong enough president coming in, and we didn't have a strong enough president leaving to stop him from doing anything like that.
Well, my friend, there's an arc in the life cycle of every living creature. And an arc in the life cycle of every nation. We have long passed the apogee of our life cycle as a nation. You know that, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to put it in such dramatic terms, but this country has been on the downside of that bell curve, if you want to put it that way, for a long time. And it is not worth our time to discuss when exactly America started to turn downward. Some would say it was after World War II. I would argue it was approximately in 1967 when the hippie scum undermined the U.S. military with the help from the media. I believe that would be the point at which America started to slide into the abyss.
Well,
thank you for the call. What am I going to do, change history? How can I change that? How can I change history? I can't do that. All right, it's time for me to give away a couple of books, Psychological Nudity. I have only a few thousand copies left on the website. I'm suggesting that if you want it for the holidays, you should order it over the next few days at michaelsavage.com. I'd like to now play the Hollywood Idiot of the Day. Please play the roar.
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
Yes, and the winner today is none other than Ratso Rizzo, as played by Dusty Hoffman. Listen to clip 19.
I told my kids that that I'd never been a part of anything quite like it in my lifetime, and I don't think we'll ever see anything quite like it again. because not only is it a great success for maybe, hopefully, well, an extraordinary man who will maybe really do something transformational in our administration.
What a word.
But also because of the symbolism. In a sense, he was the David to America's Goliath, if you get what I mean.
You know, Dustin, you really are a stupid man. Here is an example of a man stringing together words that he's heard in Hollywood that have no basis in reality. Obama may do something really big word, Dustin. Here it comes. Transformational. That's 4 or 5 syllables right there, Dusty. And you don't even have a director helping you through the word script. What is it that he's going to do that's transformational, schmuck? He was the David to America's Goliath? Are you out of your mind? If you get what I mean, this is the kind of putz who, in my opinion, inhabits the worst restaurants in America, which are restaurants like Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills. New York City, WOR. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, I want to tell you that anytime I talk to my friends about the fact that I don't like Obama, I'm labeled constantly as a racist. I don't even get a chance to bring up issues such as the things that he stands for. Immediately, I'm labeled as a racist.
Well, why don't you say to them that they're the racist for using the word race when you're criticizing his social policy, not his race? You didn't say anything about his race, did you?
No, I didn't. The fact.
All right, wait a minute. Say to your friends, why don't you shut your mouth? You're the one who brought up race, not me. I'm talking about the man's social policies, his political philosophy. You're the one who brought up race. You're the racist, you pig. Why don't you say that to them?
Well, Mr. Savage, anytime I ask them, what do you think the man stands for, they can't come up with anything other than it is a change. It's exciting. I like the guy. And then if you somehow don't agree with him, oh, you're a racist. You see, again, racist.
Well, let me explain, John. You got to drop your friends. They're not your friends, and you don't need them, and they held you back all your life. The hardest thing I had to do was let go of my friends 15 years ago. They were very nice people, but they were very bad for my development. And in order for me to succeed in radio, I had to let go of these people because they all wanted to keep me down because they were themselves, unfortunately, constrained by their own weaknesses. You understand what I mean, John? You got to let go of those people. They're not your friends. They're your enemy.
Mr. Savage, I will say that I'm an American, a proud American, but America is getting what it deserves. And that's what we're getting. We're getting a young man that has no experience.
All right, well, hold it. You know what? He won the race because the Republicans ran a moron called John McCain, who was undermined by his own managers. And then they made the biggest mistake of the campaign by picking an inexperienced running mate called Sarah Palin. I mean, let's call it like it is here. McCain was moving ahead in the polls, and his strongest calling card was experience. Obama's greatest weakness was his inexperience. So what did McCain's advisors do? They said, aha, we'll fight his inexperience by picking someone who has no experience whatsoever, so that people's fears that if John McCain gets sick or dies, the nuclear football goes in her hands. Don't you understand what happened here?
I do. That's exactly.
All right, then I'll tell you what. Since in my father's store, he had a little sign that used to say, don't go away, man, just go away. If you can name one of the 75 stories in psychological nudity that you want to read, I'll send you a free copy. Go ahead, please.
If I can name what? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Sorry. Have a nice day. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Have a guy who played Ratso Rizzo in Midnight Cowboy many years ago, Dustin Hoffman, a man who his entire life has been a left-wing fanatic, starts to mutter about Obama, and he says that Obama may do something really transformational. What does that word mean? What do you mean by transformational? What exactly do you mean by transformational? What does that mean? These are words that they start throwing around, transformational. What does it mean? Ooh, he ended the talk radio stuff that we don't like, that stuff that ridicules us. That's really transformational. Ooh, he put in a police force of his own. And instead of wearing brown shirts, they wore green shirts. That's really transformational. Ooh, he overrode the Second Amendment so all those right-wingers can't have guns anymore. Wow, that's really transformational, Dusty. Ooh, he granted amnesty to 25 million illegal aliens who now can bring in all their relatives from God knows where. That's really transformational, Dusty. And also, Dusty, when he came for your mansion in Beverly Hills and said that it's not occupied to its full resources, that there's only you and someone else in it, and you'd have to take in 25 people from Mexico and 50 people from Africa, is that also transformational, Dusty, you schmuck, you? Chicago, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, you're a great American. I just wanted to say I'm...
Oh, sorry. Please, hold it. I never want to hear that. That's used by some phony tin horn on another channel. I'm not a great American. That's for that fake lawyer on that other station. Don't ever call me that, and don't ever call the show again. Ever. I'm not a great American. I'm just another American. That's something that tin horn lawyer uses. That fraud. That faker with a big mouth who sounds like Groucho Marx. If he didn't follow Wallbanger, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be an ambulance chaser, you idiots, you great American. New York, W.R. Curtis, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I have an answer to Dustin Hoffman, a quote from a far greater man with Robert Browning, who I believe sums up the events of the past week far better. It's from his Dramatis Personae, and here it is. To suppose one cheat can gull all these were more miraculous.
I haven't any idea what that means.
You don't?
No.
Well, I mean, if you think of this election with Barack Obama, and to suppose one cheat can gull all these were more miraculous.
It sounds to me like he had a bad acid trip when he wrote it. What do you mean one cheat?
Cheat. A cheat. C-H-E-A-T.
Well, we don't even know where Obama was born. His grandmother died the night before the election. There's a lot of questions around this character that the media won't answer. Let's start with what country he's from. Why was the birth certificate never produced? Why in the world did he take time off from the campaign to visit the grandmother who then suddenly and suspiciously died virtually the night before the election? Tell me about that.
We don't know, and we're probably never going to know. Everything that he does and says will be good. Even now, they're probably sending all the headline writers to re-education camps.
Yeah, I understand what trouble we are in. The question is, what are you going to do about it when you have a nation of brainwashed, egomaniacal, orgasm-seeking fools?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
I told my kids that that I've never been a part of anything quite like it in my lifetime. And I don't think we'll ever see anything quite like it again. Because not only is it a great success for maybe, hopefully, well, an extraordinary man who will maybe really do something transformational in our administration, but also because of the symbolism. In a sense, he was the David to America's Goliath, if you get what I mean.
That was Ratso Rizzo at his best. That was the most he could figure out in between the THC that was apparently raging between his brain cells, in my humble opinion. That was none other than the has-been Dustin Hoffman praising Saint Obama, saying he will do something really transformational. So let's look at what he means by transformational. The transformational Obama has appointed a former hater of free speech to the Federal Communications Commission in order to kill conservative speech. Now, you may say, I hate conservative talk radio, but what you don't understand is you have no obligation to like what I say, but you have an obligation to let me say it. You may not understand it, but you live in the United States of America, not in the ex-Soviet Union. So you say, well, okay, we don't care what you say. We now have our man in the White House, and he's going to pass an executive order which bans talk radio. Well, I have told you over and over again, it will be thrown out at the Supreme Court level, even if he passes an executive order. The Supreme Court, at the end of the day, is the highest authority in the land. It is not some crackpot called a federal judge, and it's not some crackpot called the president, even. Let me give you an example of why I'm 100% right and you're 100% wrong, and why we'll never fall into the Soviet Union, so far as I can tell. Until the 1950s, now you're going to get a lesson now on the executive order that you know nothing about. By the way, you're listening to The Savage Nation, the only show in America worth listening to. Until the 1950s, there were no rules or guidelines that outlined what a president could or could not do through an executive order. Then something happened. The Supreme Court ruled in 1952 in a case called Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer, 343 U.S. 579, that executive order 10340 from President Harry S. Truman, which placed all steel mills in the country under federal control, was invalid. Why was it invalid? Because it attempted to make law rather than clarify or act to further a law put forth by the Congress or the Constitution. So if Barack Hussein Obama wants to play dictator and he says, by executive order, I'm writing a new law which says that one branch of speech is illegal, and that is not all the media, but only conservative talk radio will be outlawed, he would be attempting to make a new law rather than clarifying or acting to further a law put forth by the Congress or the Constitution, and therefore that executive order would be thrown out. And ever since that 1952 ruling, presidents have been careful to cite which specific laws they are acting under when they issue new executive orders. Do you understand that? This is The Savage Nation, the only show worth listening to in the United States of America. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Let us go to the callers. Chicago, Cindy, you're on The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I want to say that I think that Dustin Hoffman is talking in code, biblical code. He's saying that, you know, Barack Obama is transformational. Well, that goes straight to Jesus. Jesus talks about being transformed.
Well, we understand very sick liberals from Hollywood who have been drugged up most of their adult lives, who have basically walked away from whatever religious upbringing they may have had no Messiah in their life. They are so deluded that they think this man is a Messiah-like figure. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's because people are not spiritual, and they're spiritual about the environment.
Correct. And this is how Marxism came about in the Soviet Union, in the ex-Russia, which became the Soviet Union, because millions of people wanted a Messiah-like figure to arrive on the scene. There was no such figure. It was Marx, it was Engels, it was Lenin, it was Trotsky. But none of them were the Messiah, as you well understand. They were the Antichrist, all of them. Thank you for the call. I don't want to get into this religious symbolism. 1-800-449-8255, phone number. Which executive orders do you fear most from Barry Hussein Obama? Do you think the Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke should be immediately arrested by the FBI for refusing to reveal who they have given $2 trillion in taxpayer money to? Go to MichaelSavage.com and read the story if you don't know what I'm talking about. New York City, WOR Ferris, you're on The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Mike. There's one law that comes to mind in the way of an executive order. In fact, two, and both of them, fortunately, there is something we can do about them. My first tendency when you asked a question was to doubt that there was anything we can do. But the first one is going to be the gun grab. And he'll pass something with some fancy name on it that really requires for all guns.
But wait, listen to what I just said to you, though. The 1952 case of Truman, when he tried to basically take over the steel mills, the Supreme Court slapped him down and said he was trying to write law rather than interpret law. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was then, this is now. And
what does that mean? That's like a hippie phrase. What do you mean, that was then, this is now? Law is law. Law is based upon case law. So if Obama overreaches and tries to make law up without the Congress, that's a dictatorship, and the Supreme Court will override him.
With regard to the fairness doctrine, that will be as high on his agenda, but there is something we can do about it there, too. Let me mention what we can do about the gun thing, and that is we have some time between now and then to get our permits in and get our applications in. And take some action in that respect with regard to...
I don't know. What do you mean? Get what permits in?
Well, let's go get guns before they're taken.
All right. You know what? I don't want to turn this into a gun and rod show. I own guns, and that's the end of it. We have a Second Amendment, and if anyone wants to take it away, good luck to them, because they're not getting away with it. It was just decided last April or May that the Second Amendment applies to the individual right to bear arms. Period. End of story. Now, if a tin horn dictator from Honolulu, Hawaii, wants to try to take away our guns, good luck to him. Houston, Texas. Michelle, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I am a first generation born in this country. My parents are from Cuba. My husband's parents are from Cuba. And imagine the fact that my husband and I were able to register ourselves to vote at the age of 18 without the help of ACORN. That in and of itself is a miracle. But my husband and I grew up around the table listening to the political discussions. My father-in-law had to serve in Castro's army. My mother-in-law remembers the day where they came to her home and gave her a few hours to pack and she had to leave. My father was one of the last that came over in the wave of Pedro Pan when he was 17 years old.
All right, so what is the main point? You fear that Obama's another Castro?
I know he has the absolute potential to be, but
hold it. Yes, he has the potential to become another Castro-like dictator. But we are not the Cubans living under Batista. This is the United States of America. We're not going to permit a tin horn dictator from Honolulu to turn this into a banana republic. It's not going to happen so easily.
I pray you're correct. But what is on his side is the very middle class. See, I'm calling you from a suburbia utopia here in Houston, Texas. And the mothers at the bus stop, the mothers on the soccer field, at ballet practice, these middle class parents are so ignorant of the politics that are going on.
Correct.
So
they have no idea what a dictatorship is, nor what it can do to a nation. And 90% of these moronic white middle class parents would go along with a dictatorship, by the way. You understand that?
Absolutely. And yes. They think that he's so noble. And your caller who called earlier, who said he's labeled a racist, it goes right back down to that. I work very part-time outside the home. I'm a registered nurse. And in my department, when I was working last week, God forbid I dare question any of Obama's, even based on my family's knowledge of what it is like to be under socialism, what it's like to leave everything. How dare
so I? All you got to do is not get angry at them. When they throw the race word around, smile at them, say to them, now you brought up the word race. I didn't bring up race. I'm questioning his social policies. Why are you bringing race into this question? Why don't you say that to them?
Absolutely, and you're absolutely correct. That's the best.
Look, I know how to win arguments, okay? Smile, agree, and turn the argument. Stop letting them put you in a corner with their Pavlovian response. You don't have to get mad when they call you a racist for criticizing Obama or Michelle. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to do that, I guarantee you. What you're going to do is slow down, smile at them, and say, that's interesting. You just brought up the word race when I didn't. Maybe you're the racist. Maybe you ought to look in a mirror. And don't let them off the hook. How hard is that, Michelle?
I will know.
Now, Michelle, because you're such a nice person, if you can name one story in psychological nudity that you can't wait to read, I'll give you a free book. Go ahead, please.
Okay, making love, what is it, making love by the garbage dump or by the
newspaper? Okay, you win anyway. Stay on the line. It's a combination of two stories. One story I wrote is love by the sewer. They keep changing it. Love by the sewer plant is not making love by the garbage dump, please. I mean, let's not do this to me. One story is love by the sewer plant, and it's very lovely. There's not one dirty word in it. And there's another story that everyone loves, which is Tippy dies and is thrown into a garbage truck. But don't confuse the two stories. I wonder if Obama's minions, his little fascist dictators, will declare my book, Psychological Nudity, something to be burned in a pyre. And I wonder if the white middle class fools will salute book burnings in America. If they burned all of Michael Savage's books by national decree, would they go along with it? I wonder exactly how far a dictatorship could go in America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Over a number of crazy things in the world. And welcome back to the Savage Nation. And I started to laugh. You know, I happen to have a good laugh, and it's infectious, and the guys are laughing. I'm laughing. And I said, you know what? Keep laughing. It's still not illegal. Well, you can make it illegal to laugh at Obama. You can mock Obama if you don't like him. You can ridicule Obama if you don't like him or you don't like what he says. Where does it say you have to worship a president? What are you falling in line here for with these dummies? New York City, WOR. Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Hey, listen, you know what? You are the male version of me.
Wait, please. Let's not go there. I'm not into cross-dressing.
I wanted to say, Mr. President-elect, he's the president. He's a person. I'm sick and tired of the first black African-American president.
But I don't use those terms. I haven't referred to his race once, have I?
What's that?
Have I referred to his race ever?
You haven't, but all over media it is. All over.
Well, they ought to grow up and stop being so racist.
You know
why don't they focus on the man's social policies instead of on his racial composition?
And not only that, he's not even black. He's part white.
Well, please, see, I don't want to do this. Please, no more callers like this. I don't want to talk about racial issues. How's that? No more. I don't want to do this. It debases the entire discussion. That's all there is to it. I ask you, what executive orders do you fear most from Barack Hussein Obama? Believe me, you have plenty to fear if you actually listen to what the man has said he's going to do and the people he started to appoint. Jamie Gorelick as the attorney general? Oh, that doesn't frighten you? Go to michaelsavage.com and read some of these stories. Here's another one. A court in Arizona has said you must stop using the word illegal aliens. Arizona Supreme Court Chief Justice Ruth McGregor has endorsed a demand from the Hispanic Bar Association, whatever that is, to censor words and phrases such as illegal aliens and now use the phrase foreign nationals in court documents. This is what doublespeak is called. Would you call someone who broke into your country and is here illegally an illegal alien or a foreign national? How would you refer to them? What would you call a burglar? If he broke into your house, should we not call him a burglar in a court case? Would that be a politically correct phrase? What would be the politically correct phrase for a burglar who breaks into your house, according to the Supreme Court Justice of Arizona? Certainly you don't want to say the word burglar. Would you say an uninvited guest? Would that be the proper phrase for someone who comes in with a gun to rob you, an uninvited guest? I don't know what they're smoking in the Arizona Supreme Court, but I have a feeling it's not from the Saguaro cactus. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, there is a picture of Michael Savage and his dog, Teddy, and a few of my friends on the cruise on San Francisco Bay. I'm sorry if you couldn't be there. It was just a little party for certain individuals. It was very nice, with the exception of a few things that were not very nice, which I'm not going to talk about because there's no point in it. But that's it. That's the whole story. What do you want to talk about? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dustin Hoffman, what Bush said to Obama, what Obama said to Bush? I could care less. I really don't care what they said to each other. I care what they do rather than what they say to each other in private. Schwarzenegger to voters, drop dead. Story number two on michaelsavage.com. Arnold Schwarzenegger has had the nerve to say that even though the voters have voted on homosexual marriage and have said finally and once and for all, no, not yet, get over it, grow up, you live in a democracy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was owned lock, stock, and bicep by the homosexual mobs, said this in clip four. Listen.
This will go back into the courts. This will go back to the Supreme Court. And all this because the Supreme Court very clearly in California has declared this unconstitutional. It's the same as in the 1948 case when blacks and whites were not allowed to marry. This falls into the same category.
You're a liar. You know, Schwarzenegger, you're a dumb, uneducated moron. You're a muscle-headed moron. The reason that we have direct democracy in America is only because of the ballot initiative, schmuck. And the ballot initiative was made so that schmucks like you cannot override the people, and degenerates like those on the California Supreme Court are put in their place by the people. Putz, go back to Austria where you came from, you cream puff, you. You don't fool me for a minute. You're nothing but a fraudulent dictatorship in your own head. You have too much going on between your ears, Arnold, that has nothing to do with America. You're a cream puff between the ears. You idiot, you. You campaign with McCain the last day and you call Obama, his legs are thin. That's your idea of politics, you moron, you. You uneducated dolt.
Savage.
Given really the daunting challenges that we face, it's important that President-elect Obama is prepared to really take power and begin to rule day one.
Take power and begin to rule. That's one of the spokesmouths, one of the ignoramuses that work for Obama, saying that President Obama is ready to take power and begin to rule from day one. Does that give you a nice warm feeling in the far reaches of your mind? To take power and rule. I guess she thinks that it's some kind of tribe that he's taken over. It's a lady, I don't know who you are, but you live in the United States of America. A president doesn't take power. A president is granted the office of the presidency. He does not take power, lady. I don't know who you are, but you really ought to be ditched real fast. Real fast. See, you could see the hints of the fascism all around this man. And we have to keep these people in line by continuously exposing them for who they are and what their tendencies or proclivities might be. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers. John in Michigan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Is Barack Obama threatening to change our form of government? We've been ruled under the same piece of paper for 219 years, longer than any other.
Well, but you see, to Dustin Hoffman, he would like something transformational. And if that incorporates eliminating certain elements of the Constitution, that would be considered transformational. To Ratso Rizzo.
That we could change our rulers and our form of government, but that we wouldn't obtain lasting liberty?
Liberty? What is liberty?
Yeah.
Well, what does liberty have to do with change and hope? Liberty has nothing to do with change and hope. Liberty is racism.
Right, right.
What if Obama says liberty is racism and we're going to eliminate racism by eliminating certain liberties in order to produce change and hope? What are they going to do, salute in the streets of America, John?
That's right. Well, why can't he just – well, I don't like the brown shirts idea either, the advancing of the Peace Corps and compulsory community service for my children.
Yeah. Well, we all have certain fears of this man, and we're going to have to wait and see whether he actually tries to pull off these changes. John Podesta, himself a very questionable character, a man who has tendencies towards dictatorship and fascism because Podesta – as you well know, created a monster called Media Matters. John Podesta says there's a lot that a president can do using his executive authority without waiting for congressional action. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
And he said that some of the things the great man may do is in the fields of energy transformation, health care, and stem cell research. But he doesn't need to mess with the Congress or the people on that. You understand that?
Right. Mm-hmm. I just ran for state representative out here in Michigan on the Constitution Party. And I told those people, if you mandate...
What'd you get, about 2% of the vote in Michigan?
2% of the vote, but you know what? That means 1,000 people actually penciled in my name. I had 146 people.
All right, terrific. That just shows you how many people even know what a constitution is. They probably thought it had to do with a bowel movement.
Your educational endeavor's got to keep up here because these people have got to get...
Let me ask you something. Did many of them know what the constitution was, or were they referring to a person who couldn't go to the bathroom?
Well, again...
Thanks for the call. Take a walk. Houston, Texas. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Evening, Dr. Savage. I'm calling because I'm wanting to know in your new book, Psychological Nudity, if did you happen to include the story, the really neat story about, I believe you were collecting some plants on an island with a young photographer, and you had to get blessed before you went onto the island, and kind of some future was told, and come to find out, a guy did step on something and paralyzed half his body.
No, you know what's interesting? I did leave that story out. I've since found at least 10 stories that should be in, or, you know, should have been in there that aren't in there. But maybe that's volume two of psychological nudity, the son of psychological nudity. I have a story called Fiji Islands in 1969 and how Fijians were unique, but I don't think I included the paralyzation story that was predicted by the fortune teller. That is a good story. It really shocked me. It shocked me that she could do it with a deck of cards. It was amazing to me.
Yes.
You know.
There's always good stories. And it just seemed like the only story anybody knew was Dead Man's Pants. So I thought I'd call in with one that I could pull out of the bag there.
Well, then you get a free copy for even being interested enough to call. Okay? Stay on the line. Free copy. Chicago, Illinois. Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Jamie Gorelick. If the Obama Nation is going to pick Jamie Gorelick for attorney general, I mean, that scares me to death. What she did with her wall of separation, separating intelligence from law enforcement, causing 9/11, what are we going to have, Sandy Berger as the lieutenant?
Well, you know, people should go to michaelsavage.com. We linked it up from the New York Times. Obama considering Jamie Gorelick for attorney general. Jamie Gorelick, as you know, worked for Fannie Mae, made a fortune off that while sacking America's taxpayers. And she built the intelligence wall that hindered counterterrorism agents before the 9/11 attacks. And her name is being offered around for the attorney general. If you think Janet Reno and Waco were bad, you're right. But it may be nothing compared to what this dictator from Great Neck, New York might do.
Obama's an idiot. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Please, you know, what does that mean? He's not an idiot. He is an idiot. He is not an idiot. He's not. He's a very shrewd operator. An idiot. He's not. You know, Tucson, Arizona. Aaron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How are you doing today, Michael? Topic I have is his entire Spread the Wealth campaign. I'm only 23 years old. I plan to start my own business by the time I'm 25 as a CPA. And his Spread the Wealth campaign scares the crap out of me.
Well, you should consider the phrase I use that John McShane didn't use during the last debate, which is not spread the wealth, but trickle up poverty. Had John McShane used that phrase that I invented, he could have beaten Obama right there with a knockout punch. We don't know whether the anointed one is going to tax you out of business yet, so we should wait and see. What you got to remember is that it was wealthy white liberals who put him in power. Never forget who put him in power. Wealthy white liberals, billionaires, put him in power. Do you actually believe they want to pay more taxes?
Not at all.
So let's not rush to judgment so fast. The guy threw around a lot of malarkey that the masses believed in order to get the morons to believe in him. But now he's got to answer to the money that put him in power. And the money that put him in power, believe me, doesn't want to give up the money to the morons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so don't worry so much. Let's take it one day at a time, one issue at a time. 1-800-449-8255, New York City, WOR. Maureen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I think that the people who voted for Obama were basically listening with their eyes. I don't have TV in my home, and I don't get a newspaper, but I do listen to a lot of talk radio. And I kept waiting to hear some of your 12 ideas, and no one said anything about them. And I really felt that I felt pride when I heard you say them on the radio, and I was hoping one of the candidates were going to bring up any of them.
By 12 ideas? You mean the 12 Savages Plan for America?
Oh, my God. I was like, who is this guy talking? Because I had just started listening.
All right, tell you what I'm going to do. Stay on the line. We're sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. And in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to do something transformational. I'm going to read the Savage Manifesto written within the last year of what I would do if I were president of the United States. There's no mystery. I'm an open book. Here it is. The Savage Manifesto. If I were president, here is what I would do. Domestic A. Regulate Wall Street. End short selling. Try tycoons who profited from bailouts. B. I would cut federal income taxes by 2% per year for over 4 years for a minimum total of 8% over 4 years. C. Reduce federal governmental departments in size by 4% each year for a total reduction of size of government departments by 16% over 4 years. D. Eliminate all public assistance for able-bodied recipients. Cut off all public assistance for immigrants for 5 years. Repatriate those who are not working after 2 years. E. immediately impose tariffs on cars and trucks owned by foreign entities, even if they're manufactured in America. F, have illegal aliens build a wall between the United States and Mexico and then repatriate them, pay them a one-time worker fee. G, increase pay for active duty combat troops by 10%. Number two, fire any unmarried military person becoming pregnant while on active duty. H, make abortions illegal except when the physical survival of the mother is threatened, to be determined by three medical doctors. Require NORPLAN for all women on welfare of childbearing age. I, close all houses of sex and massage. J, expand the Drug Enforcement Administration while decriminalizing most drugs. K, regarding the media, 1, eliminate all foreign ownership of any American media entity. 2, break up overly large conglomerates like News Corporation. L, encourage childbearing among taxpaying citizens. Create a marriage incentive through lower taxes for married heterosexual couples. And a government subsidy for each child conceived and carried to birth. Increase the subsidies for each year the couple remains married. M, repatriate all illegal immigrants now incarcerated. Encourage all other illegals to self-repatriate through double taxation on wages and fines on employers. I'm Michael Savage. When I come back, I will give you my plan for international affairs right here on the Savage Nation. Savage. Savage Nation, we're all talking about what we fear most about Obama's minions and their executive orders and things of that nature. And I have said that I wrote this over the last year. I remember when I came out with it. I don't know the exact date, but I'm reading to you the Savage the Manifesto. I read you the domestic. Here are my plans of what I would do if I were president, which I'm not, or if I could advise the president. Here's what I would do internationally. Let's see if it still holds up as rational. A, Iraq. Send in Iraqi troops to mop up pockets of resistance. That's more or less over. Make Iraq pay with their oil for the cost of the war. Cordon off Sadr City. That's, of course, over now. Divide Iraq into 3 to 4 sectors, Sunni, Shiite, Kurdan, international. I don't know that that's necessary. Next, remove all U.S. troops after above achieved. That's certainly necessary, and it should occur rapidly. B, Iran. Big problem. What would I do? One, sanctions, embargoes, and mine their harbor. Harbors. Sanctions, embargoes, and mine their harbors. Nothing goes in, nothing comes out until Ahmadinejad is out of business. C, North Korea. Destroy their launching pads. Impose a naval blockade on all goods coming in or out except food. D, Israel-Arab entities. Give Israel 4 years to become self-sufficient. Cut off all foreign aid to all nations. E, China. 20% tariffs on all China-made goods immediately, rising by 5% each year for each year China refuses to revalue the currency. F, United Nations. Withdraw immediately. Remove all diplomats and staff. Convert the United Nations building in New York City into housing for the working poor. G, Mexico. Force Mexico to pay 1 barrel of oil for every illegal alien in the United States of America per month. That's it. That's my plan. There's nothing covert. It's overt. They can be discussed. But at least you know where I stand and where I'm coming from. Borders, language, culture. Michael Savage. Do you see anything about race in any of that? No. The racists are you. You are the racists who throw the word race around. You are the filthy racists in this country, the ones who are always using the word race. So get out of my face. Austin, Texas. Tony, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, your Hollywood idiot part was very entertaining, and it was a perfect intro into my comment. It amazes me that the people in Hollywood who so praise our democratic process because it worked and elected Obama, and then immediately turn around and spit on the same democratic process that didn't support their bid for homosexual marriage. And it just amazes
That's
me.
That's correct.
Really,
and you know what's interesting to me? Remember all the talk before the election about white people who were going to go in the voting booth who said they'd vote for Obama and then wouldn't? Well, the minute that didn't happen, you didn't hear any more talk about the fact that America is not a racist nation, did you? Did anyone give a gold star to the Americans who have elected Obama? No. Immediately, the issue became something else. The very same rats in the media who were saying whites won't vote for Obama because he's half black suddenly got nothing to say when he got elected. Did you notice that?
Of course. of course, they were very anxious to support the process when it worked to their
end. Of course. Look, Tony, we understand what hypocrisy is, but look, I define the phrase red diaper doper baby, and I gave it an acronym, RDDB. These people are, their minds have been rotted from 30, 40 years of marijuana use. You know, Tony, I'm not making it up. Most of the people in Hollywood are on marijuana every day. You know that they take it like a cocktail. Their brains are rotted from ear to ear, Tony. Tony, name one story in psychological nudity you can't wait to read, and I'll send you a free book. Go ahead, please.
I know it's almost mentioned, but Dead Man's Pants. Dead Man's Pants is very
interesting. All right, you win anyway, but no more Dead Man's Pants. Norman, Connecticut. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. The executive order I'm worried about is if he rescinds the offshore drilling. And the reason why is because that's just going to boost the oil prices back up.
Well, it's not that big an issue today, as big an issue as it was several months back, because the price of oil, which was approaching $150 a barrel, is now down to $60 a barrel. I don't know that we need to drill much more, do you?
Well, no, of course we do, because as soon as we take that away, then the speculators, everybody's, they're just going to...
Well, Norm, don't be taken in by the golfer. The fact of the matter is the world is awash in oil right now. In fact, there's so much oil that American refineries are actually turning off some of our refineries. Remember there was talk 6 months ago that we needed new refineries and the environmentalists prevented the building of refineries and that's why we're in trouble? Well, apparently there is so little demand for oil that the refineries, they're shutting down several refineries in America. Are you aware of that?
I didn't know we had some.
Well, of course not, because you only listen to the wall banger, so you don't understand what's really going on. We got to move up, you know, and catch up to what's really going on here. Cabby, New York. Anthony, WOR. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
How you doing, buddy? I'm a little nervous. Listen, I just went out on election night on an experimental note just to see how smug these liberals really are. And I'm not lying to you. I must have thrown 6 to 8 out. You know, just threw them out, you know, because...
Wait, I'm not following. You're a cab driver, and on election eve, what happened?
Under a communist regime, because that's what it's going to be like.
Anthony, you're not hearing me. You're a cab driver in New York, and you said something happened on election night. What was it?
A nightmare. And,
all right, we're not hearing each other. I'm sorry, my friend. Chicago, Illinois. Pete, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Mike. The Obama campaign floated 2 abuses of executive order late in the campaign. First of all, they're going to pervert the definition of defamation. There were unchecked threats to incarcerate people who were thought to have spread untruths about BO during the campaign, if you remember. No one said a word about it. And second, illegal search and seizure. The way they intimidated that plumber guy's company to the point where they had to close shop. No one said a word about that. There's 2 things that he's going to try to get away with.
Which is what? What are the 2 things?
Perverting the definition of defamation, where you could throw people in jail for saying something you don't want, and illegal search and seizure. If they don't
look, I want you people to calm down for a minute, and I want you to stop fearing his tendencies towards dictatorship, and he's going to take power, and he's going to start to rule from day one like the dumb spokesmouth who spoke for him. We have a Supreme Court in the United States of America. It is 5-4 on the conservative side. Just remember that. Remember that we still own the Supreme Court to a certain extent. There is case law that must be followed. If he tries executive orders that actually make law rather than interpreting law, it will be fought to the Supreme Court, and he will lose. This guy is going to find out that he's no longer at the University of Chicago. He's no longer trying to play like a comedian in a living room in Chicago. The man is going to be watched very closely by the entire world, and he's not going to be able to get away with the power trips that you may fear. That is my opinion. Of course he may try them, but they're going to be tested in the Supreme Court, and he will lose. And if he tries enough of them and loses often enough, suddenly you will see the man come down to earth. And just as Icarus tried to fly, and his wings eventually, the feathers fell off his wings because the wax melted because he got too close to the sun. My opinion is that Obama is not as close to being a messiah as the libs would believe, but he's more of an Icarus than he is a messiah. Look up Icarus, I-C-H-A-R-U-S. It's from Greek mythology. Of course, by tomorrow, it'll be used by the golfer and by the wall banger. That's a big word and a big story. But Icarus is a good analogy for Obama. Icarus, 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 Icarus. He will fly too close to the sun. The wax will melt from his feathers, and he will come back down to earth, and we will see him for what he is, a social worker with a law degree.
Seven. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Andrew Breitbart sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number is 1-800-449-9255. If you want to do multitasking, follow in at www.michaelsavage.com. And it is Monday, the day that Barack Obama visited the White House with Michelle Obama and met with Laura Bush and George W. Bush. And I really hope that George Bush listened to Stevie Wonder before he met with this transformative figure, Barack Obama. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to get used to the Barack Obama presidency, and it hasn't even started yet. What I've figured out is for the last 8 years, I've been in defensive mode defending President Bush since before he even became the president. As a matter of fact, I was defending President Bush back when Al Gore was contesting Florida. That's been an eight-year uphill battle. And Barack Obama has been at the forefront of attacking George Bush. He was the president that MoveOn.org created. He was the president that the Huffington Post created. And right now, we are in the process of showing the left how a transition is done. Class all the way. Class from John McCain. Class from George Bush, bringing him into the White House, saying, here's the ropes, kid. And I've come up with a strategy, I think, on how to be a good opposition. For the last 8 years, they attacked George Bush. They called him Hitler. They called him a chimpanzee. They never granted him his humanity. He was never a legitimate president after Florida. And when he won fair and square in 2004, when there were no questions, they still continued to attack him. What they did was attacked Bush, but what they were in essence doing was attacking you. By calling him Hitler, you were a Nazi, and you were defending Hitler and the Nazis when you were defending Bush. I don't think that we should go in this presidency and attack Barack Obama. We certainly should not be comparing him to any animals. We should not be attacking his family. What we need to do is to attack his minions, the minions who got him into office based upon fluffery. When he starts doing stupid things, we need to hold them accountable, not Barack Obama. Barack Obama is this magical, mystical unicorn presidency. Whatever he does, I'm not going to have a problem with it, because what we were promised by the people who voted for him that said that he was transformative, they were the ones that made the promises, not Barack Obama. So Barack Obama, every morning I am going to wake up and I'm going to sing your song. Barack Obama. 800-449-8255. And if you are so inclined, I'd like for you to get that out. It's great in the shower. I did it this morning. I've never felt better over the last 8 years. I no longer have to defend the president. Right now, the left isn't even attacking him right now. It's as if he couldn't do anything wrong right now. I feel like there's the monkey is off my back. I feel as if right now I don't have to defend John McCain when I don't agree with about 70% of the things that he has to say. I feel that we are starting with clean slate. The conservative movement is about to get a nice little shot in the arm now that we don't have to defend and we need to watch these people. We're going to be talking on this show about the very people who have come out right now to talk about Barack Obama being a transformative person. We've got Louis Farrakhan coming out of the closet now, just like Reverend Wright and all the other people that were put in the closet during the election campaign. The very people that knew Barack Obama the best in Chicago are now free to come out of the closet and to start talking about why they think that he's a transformative figure. You'll hear on the show that Farrakhan has now compared him to the Messiah, to Bobby Kennedy. I mean, again, he's done nothing, but these people, this is what they feel about him. And just like Reverend Wright, Farrakhan said, I kept quiet because I didn't want him to get hurt. So look, it's not Barack Obama's fault that all the skeletons in his closet, were kept there and the media didn't pry them out. So I think we need to hold people accountable here. And another thing we're going to be talking about in the coming hour is how many of the world leaders are lining up around the block for the freebies that ostensibly have been offered to them. The way that lady last week before the election, the YouTube video came out where she said, this is going to be so wonderful, the Barack Obama presidency. We're going to get, my gas is going to be paid for and my rent is going to be paid for. That really was the message that was allowed to be gleaned from the Barack Obama push for the presidency and the people behind him. And it's not just Americans that are lining around the block. It's world leaders. We've got Gordon Brown right now realizing that with George Bush out of office, these guys can move towards building a global society. Those Americans out there who naively enjoy their sovereignty are going to be in for something completely different under the Barack Obama administration because he wants us to get along with the world. And the way that we're going to be able to do that, of course, is for us to just, make it so that the United States and the EU and the UN, it all blends into one. And we're getting our lead from Mikhail Gorbachev, who's calling on Barack Obama to begin an era of perestroika. I can see this happening already. When he takes the presidency, Barack Obama is going to be put into the position of having to say yes or no to people. Does Barack Obama look like a guy who's ever said no to anybody in his entire life? This is going to be an interesting 8 years or 4 years, or hopefully not 8 years. And I'm going to put it on the lefties who demonized President Bush and made it so that his presidency's failure was basically a fait accompli. This is Andrew Breitbart, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call here today is 800 for the break. One more time, Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
Savage.
Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's start off this segment with the great inestimable Reverend Louis Farrakhan, someone who we have not heard much of through the election season. I have no idea why we haven't heard anything from him.
The minister wanted to see Barack successful. And the minister decided I would not say anything. The only politician, to my knowledge, that came close to having this effect on people was Senator Robert Kennedy in his bid to become president of the United States.
Wow. The Reverend Louis Farrakhan. For effect, I plan on speaking slowly because therefore everything that I say will convey an obvious truth. I find that's the interesting thing about a lot of these reverends, these Chicago reverends. We've got Reverend Farrakhan, we've got Reverend Wright, and we've got Reverend Jackson. It's amazing that those guys all come from Chicago, and they all speak in a language, in a cadence, whether it be Reverend Farrakhan's iambic pentameter or whether it be the slow, methodical language of Reverend Louis Farrakhan. It's all, when you're listening to what they say, they could say, "And horses can fly," or it's the sincerity and the slowness in what they have to say that it forces the people in the audience, whether it be the rhyme or the slowness, that causes people just in the audience to just shake their head as if they're robots. There's no evidence out there that he can be like Bobby Kennedy. And if he was like Bobby Kennedy, what did Bobby Kennedy ever accomplish? The one thing I know about Bobby Kennedy that he was the right-hand man of Joseph McCarthy. It's the one thing I admired about the guy, that he was a strong anti-communist. We know nothing about Barack Obama. I mean, about Barack Obama. And I've just tried to figure out over the last few days, how are we going to go after his policies? How are we going to go after his presidency? And I've watched the 8 years of going after George W. Bush, and it has not been a successful time for us to get our message out. And if you go back to the Bill Clinton presidency, we tried to go up against the mainstream media and to get our point across and go after Bill Clinton, and it didn't succeed either. These people could resurrect him. They couldn't get him kicked out of office, even though he suborned perjury and intimidated witnesses, did all that type of stuff. So I think what we need to do is hold the people who told us that he was a transformative person, we need to hold them responsible. I feel completely comfortable right now with Barack Obama. I'm not going to demonize him. He is what he is. We know who his alliances are. Let's take Frank from New York. You're on the Savage Nation with Andrew Breitbart.
Thank you, Andrew. You kind of alluded to my point before the break. What I don't understand is how Americans aren't really seeing what the rest of the world is seeing. The world, was watching an election last week that was basically a declaration of dependence. And look, you got Mikhail Gorbachev coming out of some hole in the wall out in Europe calling for an American perestroika, and Gordon Brown is calling for a new world order. You have Obama, who wants a civilian security force, and he'll actually get that because he's going to use the terrorism threat as an excuse to achieve it. And we all know how some of these things that are socialistic in nature, how they come to be. And that's why I kind of think that people are naive, that they think that, somebody's going to run and say, "Hey, I'm a socialist, elect me." It doesn't happen that fast, and you do have to be wary, and you have to watch what's going on, and that's my point.
Well, one of the worst aspects of the last 8 years was that the weak sisters, Tom Daschle and Dick Gephardt and Nancy Pelosi and Al Gore, tried to attack this President Bush for years and years, and they thought that they would be able to beat him in 2002. It didn't work. They were completely surprised in 2004. And when they started to get successful, was figuring out one of the more effective ways to attack the presidency was to confer upon corrupt nations and their dictators or their corrupt leaders that their criticism of the United States was somehow inherently valid. And that happened very early on, especially during the Iraq War. They realized, well, our constituents are going to pretty much hold us accountable, and they want us to be protected. They don't want Saddam Hussein to be able to create an ATM machine so that he can hand to proxy warriors like Al-Qaeda and any other some such terror organization. We want it to be as protected as humanly possible in a post-9/11 era, and it was very difficult for the Pelosi's of the world to stand up against the United States wanting to be on the offense and not be on the defense like we had been through the 1990s. And what happened was the mainstream media and the Democratic Party kept saying things like, I just came back from Europe and you wouldn't believe what these people were saying about us. And some of the people that they conferred a status on was the French leader Chirac or Gerhard Schroeder of Germany. And when we went into Iraq, one of the first things that we did was go through reams of papers that found out that Germany and France and Germany to a much greater degree were actually getting blood for oil. You know, as the left was running around town with, you know, no blood for oil bumper stickers, it was France, Germany, and Russia that had made the deal with the devil with Saddam Hussein. And the weak sisters in Nancy Pelosi and you know, Gephardt, et cetera, those people said, you need to listen to these foreign leaders. No, these foreign leaders were dealing with 12-13% unemployment and had to get elected. The easiest way for them to get elected was to attack the United States. And when they started to realize how successful that strategy was, to say that the world hates us, and that was fundamental to Barack Obama's entire campaign, was going over to Germany and say, look at how nice I am compared to this mean George Bush. But those people were fomented into a frothing hatred of George W. Bush that far exceeds their hatred of the real tyrants in the world. When is the last time you ever saw what French or Germans or Russians, you know, stand up against real tyranny? You know, where are the protests against what's going on in Sudan? Where's the protests against what happens in Saudi Arabia? Where are the protests about 45 years of Cubans making $30, you know, a month, and homosexuals being put into special prisons? I mean, it's completely outrageous. This is Andrew Breitbart sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number is 1-800-449-825.
The daunting challenges that we face, it's important that President-elect Obama is prepared to really take power and begin to rule day one.
Unbelievable. That was Valerie Jarrett. This is Andrew Breitbart sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number is 1-800-449-8255. Valerie Jarrett, I'm going to hold you accountable for what you just said. That was Valerie Jarrett, spokesperson for the Barack Obama transition team, appearing on Meet the Press this weekend. And she says that Barack Obama will be ready to rule on day one. This reminds me a lot of the level of accountability that George Bush was held to for the last 8 years. If you've ever existed in a blue state or a blue city, or a blue cocktail party, and you start meeting these maniacal left wingers, they start telling you that their rights have been quashed, especially their right to free speech has been quashed. And I always would question, saying, name one person you know who isn't louder and more obnoxious under George Bush, than under Bill Clinton. There's television shows, there's television networks that have sprung up, there are TV shows. But when you would ask them, where does that originate from? Where does your belief that your right to dissent has been quashed. They said, well, Ari Fleischer said in a press conference, you better watch what you have to say. So in essence, their argument, their slam dunk case against the Bush administration was after somebody like Bill Maher said something intemperate and a person in the press said, you know, what do you have to say about that, Ari Fleischer? He said, well, you maybe have to watch what you have to say. In essence, Bill Maher was being killed by the court of a public opinion after 9/11. People didn't want to hear people say that that America was to blame when suicide jihadists crashed into the Twin Towers and declared war against the United States and against not just white people, but black people and Muslims and Israelis and even fellow Muslims. And so people didn't want to hear that. That's the free market right there. And Ari Fleischer said something, and for the next 8 years, all you would hear from these people was that my right to dissent has been quashed. Ari Fleischer. So before Barack Obama even enters the presidency, right now, if we want to hold them tit for tat, her misuse of language in which he said Barack Obama will be ready to rule, we can throw that out at our cocktail parties and say he's not my ruler. He is the leader. He is a leader. He's not a ruler. He has to convince me that we're right. We are still a democracy, Valerie, Jarrett. Anyway, let's take a phone call from John in Hawaii. You're on with Andrew Breitbart and the Savage Nation.
Hey, Andrew. How you doing today? My thing is...
Wait, the topic wait. I'm adequate to good.
Adequate.
You can go. Right. You can continue.
That works. Hey, I'm a Marine officer out in Hawaii, and just the topic earlier was, what is your biggest fear with this guy? And this guy being a Barack Obama, my biggest fear with him is his ability and, you know, what he's going to have with the appointing of Supreme Court justices, because just looking at what we've seen come down in the last, you know, few key decisions, you've seen a lot of the 5-4 votes. And, you know, that scares me, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of his majority in the Senate and in the Congress, you know, at the end of the day, D.C. is still a bureaucracy, and that's going to take time. But I think, you know, as he puts people on the justice, that's going to be where he's going to make some money in terms of furthering his economic agenda. And I know you're probably familiar with the interview he gave a couple years back where he was talking about the New Deal Supreme Court and how those justices didn't delve into the economic forefront of what he thought would, it sounded like he hinted, was necessary. And, you know, that's where it's going, and that's what's scaring me. So,
Well, John, Semper Fi, first of all, I want to ask you a question. It's somewhat sensitive to ask this, and, you know, take this for what it is. But what is the attitude in the military right now with Barack Obama, who seems a tad dovish? How do you think morale is going to be under a Barack Obama presidency?
I'm not going to speak for an organization, but I can speak for people that I talk to every day. And the thing is, we're kind of on the edge of our seats wondering where this is going to go. The one thing that we're worried about is just, you know, traditionally, Democrats take money from the military in terms of, you know, training and everything. And when I came in, I was just on the tail end of Clinton's administration. And actually, you know, we were struggling to do things budget-wise, training-wise, all such being said. And with George Bush, obviously that kind of changed, and the war really brought that to the forefront. But I think the biggest thing is just budget concern and what our ability to do with that. And, you know, it's unpredictable, but that's just what I think the overriding fact is. And just a thought that I had, too, just I'll leave you with this, is at what point, you know, when this guy, when you really think about what he stands for and what he's saying and what's coming out, is at what point do combatant commanders, you know, say at the strategic level, maybe say, hey, you know, what's this guy doing, you know? And you know, ultimately at that point, decisions are made. But, you know, what would it take for us to possibly back away from something crazy, you know, case scenario happening?
Look, John, you can if all hell, you know, if he takes money away from the Pentagon, you can always join Obama's civilian national security force.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I got some training. Maybe I can. Actually, no, I would never do that. But anyway, yeah, something to think about. That's another.
Well, John, I can't thank you enough for your service. Thanks for the call. Anthony in Chicago, tell us what you know about Barack Obama that we don't.
Well, let me ask you something. How can you sit in on the Savage Nation and tell us listeners to not politically attack Barack Hussein Obama?
I'm saying it's just a tactic. I'm saying you attack his supporters. We know what we're getting. We're getting an empty suit. We're getting an empty vessel here. We know exactly what we're getting. Go after the people who thrust this on us. When he raises our taxes, go to your neighbor and say, how am I going to get my kids into private school now that he's creating a politically correct school in my neighborhood? Right now in Chicago, right underneath Barack Obama, we know what he did. He helped to create a school called the School for Social Justice. It's a separate but equal school. There's now a gay campus. There's a Chicano campus. There's a black campus. We know exactly what we're getting. This is a democracy, and these people voted for it. I just want to thank those people every time we start getting exactly what they promised, their little utopia. I don't think that we're going to have any success in trying to attack Barack Obama. He's Bobby Kennedy to Louis Farrakhan. He's Superman to my neighbor. He's the ATM to that lady who thinks that he's going to take care of every aspect of her life. I know what Barack Obama is, and we elected him. I want to hold all these utopian minded people in my neighborhood accountable when they start taking away from their paychecks, when they start taking away their military, and when we start getting attacked because we put our defenses down. It's just a change of tactic. If we sit there, they're going to call us haters. If we say that he's bad with policy, they'll say that we're racist. You can't win with this mainstream media. We tried to do it over the last 2 years to try and point out who Barack Obama was, and it backfired on us. I say we hold the people accountable for it.
You know what, Andrew? That passive thinking is the same reason why John McCain is not the president.
Well, first of all, he didn't allow for us to go after anything. And mind you, I'm being facetious here today. Do you think that I'm, you know, when he's the president, do you think I'm going to, like, lay back here? I'm just trying to show the people that we've entered a completely politically correct sphere now, and that the mainstream media is completely on the side of the left. Mainstream media, Hollywood, academia. Up is down, black is white. They're going to attempt to try and take talk radio away. That's how emboldened these people are right now. We need to hold, I think, our neighbors accountable for getting this guy elected and showing them issue by issue, educate them and show them how they were wrong and that we were the ones that are right. Diane, all right, you're on with Andrew Breitbart on the Savage Nation.
I got two things. First of all, Obama will learn to say no handily by confronting conservatives, and he will have the backing of Congress and his staff and all this Democratic energy behind him to say no. That's how he's going to learn to say no. Secondly, you're right. We have to educate not the people that watch Charlie Rose and things like that, but find a way to insist on debate and not let one single soundbite, you know, that the liberals say go unchallenged. And it's going to be hard because you're right. The media isn't on the side. We've got to find ways to do it.
Well, thank you very much, Diane. Bob, this is Andrew Breitbart sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on.
Yes, Andrew. This Civilian National Security Force that was mentioned back in July by Obama's received a lot of airplay with that clip. What hasn't received a lot of airplay is what came out from CARE as a press release on November 4th, where the U.S. Muslims are offering support for ensuring a safe and free America. Now, this whole bit of it, this is the National Executive Director, Nihad Awad, who said this. And he says
Nihad Awad?
The Nihad Awad. And in this press release, it says, we look forward to having the opportunity to work with the Obama administration in protecting the civil rights of all Americans and projecting an accurate image of America in the Muslim world and playing a positive role in securing our nation.
Well, we saw a taste of that on Election Day with the Muslim Brotherhood or the black Muslim guys standing in front of the Philadelphia polling place trying to ensure a safe vote.
The only way to read this message is it's actually, press releases, I've written them before. you run them past everybody. This is not somebody who's a little unfamiliar with the English language and what the ramifications may be that put this press release together. It's volunteering to be part of that civilian national security force. It's very clear if you read it in context. If you go up to the CARE site, you can find the press release. It was issued November 4th.
An idea I had, I think it's CARE.org, C-A-I-R.org, and I had an idea. They're playing with our heads here. They are more successful at working with the mainstream media than the Republican Party is, because for some reason the mainstream media somehow thinks that the Council on Islamic American-Islam relations are straight shooters, or at least thinks that they're very effective in going after Republican leadership. I thought it would be fun to create a website, care.com, and pretty much look the exact same way as care.org, but put the exact opposite message. So most people are going to go to care.com and they say, yes, you should be frightened to death of a decent portion of practitioners of Islam. There isn't a checks and balance. I always thought that would be a good way to do a campaign against them and get them busy off of attacking great talk radio hosts. This is Andrew Breitbart sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number is 1-800-449-8255. Go to www.michaelsavage.com. Savage.
Couldn't have happened without the World Wide Web, without the Internet. And the fundraising dimension of it was only part of it. The new possibilities on the web have revolutionized almost every aspect of running for president. And the electrifying redemption of America's revolutionary declaration that all human beings are created equal would not have been possible.
Clap, 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 clap. He's so smart. This is Andrew Breitbart sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number is 800-449-8255. And that was not slow-speaking Reverend Louis Farrakhan. That was slow-speaking Reverend Al Gore. There is a template in the media. In all the years I've been doing the internet media thing and listening to talk radio while I do it, that's part of my job description, is sitting there reading news wires, reading every op-ed that you can possibly imagine, and listening to talk radio. I've come to realize that there are certain templates that are played out in the mainstream media. And one is that Republicans are either evil or stupid, and that applies, quite frankly, to conservatives. And the media is able to convey that because if the default point of view is that you're a Democrat and that that's the righteous party, then, of course, there's only two reasons why you could be a conservative or Republican. One is you're stupid and you haven't seen the light that the Democratic Party is the good one and that being a liberal is the righteous path, or that you're stupid. And so you see that template play itself out most perfectly in the Karl Rove and Dick Cheney being the evil characters and then George Bush is the doofus president. And that applies. You just saw that template play out perfectly with Sarah Palin. You saw that with Dan Quayle. Can anyone in the Savage Nation come and tell me a person that the media, who's a Democrat, is stupid? I can't think of any. You know, there's a person like Al Gore, to me, tries to sound like he's making sense or he's saying profound things, and people even politely clap when he talks. And almost everything he says is stupid, and the proof that he's stupid is that the guy has what he would argue is a revolutionary message on global warming, and he doesn't want to debate anyone. I would debate Al Gore. I know nothing about global warming. I could spend a night on an FAQ or a FAQ or whatever those things are on the internet on counterpoints to his, inconvenient truth, which has been debunked, you know, into oblivion for the last, you know, year and a half. And he doesn't offer up any explanation for it because the people that follow him don't want an explanation. They don't want the truth. They want to believe in their political leaders. They want to think that them Democratic leaders and that liberals are saintly figures. That's why they've granted him this high status, especially after he lost in 2000. And it shows what a desperate egomaniac that he is. The two places that one would want to go to be redeemed after getting your hand, you know, your head handed to you in 2000 is one, go to Hollywood. There is no better place that you can go as a liberal and walk in and immediately become the smartest person in the room. It's the most hysterical thing in the world to be around these self-serious people like George Clooney, and they look like they're sophisticated. They look like they should be in a Rat Pack black and white photo. But when you get around them, you're like, wow, these are really some of the stupidest people you're ever going to meet in your entire life. And then the second place he went to go to confer his genius was the Nobel Committee. And beyond that, the United Nations. Those are the three organizations in the world that if you're going to them looking to for them to grant you your humanity and your intelligence, the strong chances are that you're a bona fide moron. And the very fact that Al Gore has never been criticized by mainstream media to say, man, this guy is the biggest doofus of all time. They should have one of those Bugs Bunny canes to take him off the stage. But in the mainstream media, there's literally nothing you can say if you're a Democrat that you'll be called stupid. There's nothing that you can do that they'll pull the cane off stage. When you do something bad, you can literally be Ted Kennedy. He set the most amazing precedent of all time. So you can be stupid, Al Gore, and you can be evil. You can crash your car into a body of water, leave a pocket of water in which the person is dying. You're cheating on your wife. You don't want to get caught. You want to have a political career, and you can get away with it. So to be in the Democratic Party, you can be dumb and you can be evil. And in the Republican Party, you don't have a choice because those are the only things that you can be. This is Andrew Breitbart. It's been a privilege to fill in for Michael Savage yet again. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Go to www.michaelsavage.com. And I'm Andrew Breitbart at Breitbart.com. I'll see you tomorrow night.